بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous three lessons, we weren't actually studying the treatise called Rifqan Ahla Sunnati bi Ahli Sunnah, but we were going through certain introductions regarding the author, regarding the book and the contents of the book. Also, how to recognize that somebody is a Sunni or a Salafi. And also, the distinguishing indicators and principles, the usul, upon which a person is known to be from Ahlus Sunnah. And if he contradicts or opposes those usul, then he has contradicted and opposed the way of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And in this lesson, bi tawfiqillahi azza wa jal, we are going to start reading the book. And we're going to start from page 16 in your books, page 16, which was the muqaddimah, the introduction that the author, hafidhullah, he wrote to his first edition. And in this introduction, he starts by mentioning the name of Allah by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful and the One who bestows mercy. And he did this in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the way of the ulama who wrote books, and also the practice which our ummah is upon of always beginning something by mentioning the name of Allah, hoping by it that there will be some barakah, some blessing in it. And then he praised Allah. He said, Alhamdulillah alladhi allafa bayna qulubil mu'minin. All praise is for Allah, the One who has united between the hearts of the believers. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ta'liful qulub, unity of the hearts, is a ni'mah, it's a blessing, rather it's one of the greatest blessings. And if unity is a blessing, then disunity and differing is a punishment. And this blessing of being united upon the truth and you being united upon Iman, this blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He called it a ni'mah. He said in Surah Ali Imran, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah said, and remember, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the ni'mah of Allah, the blessing of Allah upon you, when you were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And Allah, He united between your hearts. He brought you closer. He brought your hearts closer. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And then because of this ni'mah of Allah, because of this blessing of Allah, you became brothers. So this blessing, this ni'mah of تَأْلِيفُ قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, of the hearts of the believers being together and united, no doubt it's a ni'mah which should be appreciated and remembered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised for it. And for this reason, the author began praising Allah by saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi allafa bayna qulubil mu'mineen wa raghabahum fil ijtima'i wal i'tilaf. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encouraged the believers, rather He ordered and He commanded the believers upon what? Al ijtima' wal i'tilaf, upon unity and being one single body. And this order or this encouragement of being united, this is an asal from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah. This is a principle from the principles of Ahlul Sunnah. That we call the Ummah to be united upon the truth, and we warn the Ummah against being disunited. And we don't believe in different ahzab, different parties. We don't believe in different firq, different sects, each person ascribing himself to a different sect. We don't believe in different jama'at, each one is a separate jama'ah. Rather, we believe in the Ummah being a single Ummah in which we are all united. And therefore, the obligation upon the Muslims and the obligation upon the Ummah is al-ijtima'u ala sunnati wal-haq, is to be united upon and to congregate upon the Sunnah and upon the truth. And this asal, this principle, there are many ayat in the Quran, many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all point towards that the Ummah has to be united upon one millah, upon one path. Allah said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah said, hold on, all of you, united, جَمِيعًا, to the rope of Allah, i.e. the Quran and the Sunnah, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not become disunited. And Allah said, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not differ amongst each other, and therefore cowardice overcomes you, and your strength, i.e. your strength in unity, it disappears. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّكَ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Indeed Allah, He loves for you three matters. And one of the three matters which are mentioned in this hadith which Allah loves, أَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah loves for you the Muslims, the mu'mineen, to be united, holding on to the rope of Allah, and to not be disunited. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with his companions, and he drew a line in the sand. And then he drew lines towards the right of this straight line and towards the left of this straight line. And then he told the Sahaba that this single line, this is the path of Allah. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path of Allah. And as for these other lines which are going towards the right and towards the left, then all of these are deviations in which there is a shaitan calling to Jahannam. And then he recited the ayah, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Then he recited the ayah, and verily this is my path which is straight, for so follow it. And do not follow the various other paths, and therefore you become disunited and it takes you away from his path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raghabahum fil ijtima'i wal i'tilaf. That Allah ordered and encouraged the believers to be united and to be a single body. And as I mentioned, this is therefore our da'wah. So if you see a people or see a sect and they are trying to divide the ummah into different jama'at and ahzab and firq, and they are trying to divide Ahlul Sunnah within themselves, divide the Salafis within themselves to different groups, then this is in opposition to the way of Ahlul Sunnah. وَحَذَّرَهُمْ مِنَ التَّفَرُّقِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ. And also Allah warned against differing and discord amongst each other. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. He said, I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. خَلَقَ فَقَدَّرَ وَشَرَعَ فَيَسَّرَ. And Allah, He created everything with the correct measure. وَشَرَعَ, and He legislated the Sharia. فَيَسَّرَ, and He made everything easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He legislated the Sharia, and this Sharia which He has legislated has been made easy for us. And the Fuqaha, they mention that from the mumayyizat at-tashri' al-islami, from the distinctive or distinguishing qualities of this sharia over all of the other religions and all of the other legislations and the laws and the rules, is that this sharia mabniyun al-taysir wa raf al-haraj. That this sharia, from the core objectives of this Sharia is, it is built upon ease and removing the difficulty upon the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he mentioned the ayah of making wudu and being upon tahara and al-ghusl, towards the end, he said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. Allah wants ease for you and he doesn't want difficulty for you. So in your prayers, there is no difficulty, walhamdulillah. And in the wudu, there is no difficulty. In every law and ruling of Islam, there is always ease and there is no difficulty. And this is seen clearly. So the traveler, he has certain allowances to make it easy for him. And the one who is ill has allowances which make things easy for him. And the woman who is going through, whether it is bleeding or pregnancy and so on and so forth, there are allowances which makes it easy for her. In the rulings of fiqh, whenever a person finds himself in a difficult situation, then Allah has already legislated that the rulings will change for this person. And then he said, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَلَّذِي أَمَرَ بِالتَّيْسِيرِ وَالتَّبْشِيرِ. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the worship and the messenger of Allah, the one who ordered us to make things easy for other people and to give glad tidings to other people. Faqal, and then he mentioned the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Make things easy for the people and don't make things difficult for the people. Bashiru wala tunaffiru, and give glad tidings to the people, bring happiness to the people, welcome the people, and don't drive them away from you. And this hadith, yassiru wala tu'assiru, make things easy and do not make things difficult, in various different affairs and from different angles. First of all, in your interaction with the people, that you should have good interaction with the people, with good manners and soft and gentle words, and not being harsh upon the people. So things are made easy for them and they are welcomed, and things are not made difficult for them and they are not caused to flee away. Also, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, in not involving people in those matters which does not involve them. So if there is, for example, a particular ikhtilaf or a particular fitna amongst a particular group of people in an area of the world, and it doesn't involve us and it has no relevance to us, then from this yassiru wala tunaffiru wa bashiru, yassiru wala tu'assiru wa bashiru wala tunaffiru, is that we don't get the people involved in that which does not concern them. So where they don't need to take a position, then they don't have to take a position. And we don't need to disunite Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah in forcing people to enter into affairs which has no concern to us. Also, for example, when it comes to the taking of a zakat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, wa iyyakum wa karaim amwalikum, that he ordered the person who is going to take zakat, when, for example, you're going to take the zakat of cattle, then from this ease and from this being gentleness is that don't take the animal which is the best of the cattle which he has. Rather take something from the middle. So don't take the best of his crop or the best of his cattle, and don't take the worst, but take something which is in the middle. Also, for example, this taysir and this tabshir when it comes to the prayer, that the imam from his intelligence is always being aware of those people who are praying behind him. So if, for example, those who are behind him are old or their time is limited, then he lessens the prayer. And if there is a particular need, then he lessens the prayer. And so on and so forth. Also, from this taysir, this ordering of people with gentleness and making things easy for people, is encouraging the people to do small acts of goodness which is easy for them, which are easy for them, and tell them to do it consistently or continuously. So from our making easy for people is, instead of telling them to do acts of worship which are difficult and big, encourage people to do small acts of worship which are easy for them as long as they're doing them regularly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. Inna ahabbal a'mali ilallah adwamuha wa inqal. The most beloved acts of worship to Allah are those continuous acts of worship, even if they are a little amount. Even if it is a little amount, because this is easy upon the person and also beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from making things easy for the people is, if we have two options, then we choose the easiest option as long as it does not go against the Sharia. And for this reason, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates, مَا خُيَّرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never made a choice between two different options, إِلَّا اخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِثْمًا. Except that he would always choose the easiest option, as long as it was not sinning. So it doesn't make sense that when you have two options and both of them are within the limits of the Sharia, that you obligate upon the people the most difficult option. All of this is from Yassiru wa la tu'assiru wa bashiru wa la tunaffiru. He said, the author Hafizullah said, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi al-mutahharin wa ashabihi alladhina wasafahumullah bi annahum ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum. May peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and his family and his companions, and those companions who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as being ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum. That these companions, these believers, they are harsh upon the kuffar and they are merciful towards each other, towards the rest of the believers. So if there is a group of people who are deserving of shidda, then it is those who are making shirk with Allah and kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there's anybody who is deserving of mercy and gentleness, then it is those who are upon tawheed and upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the seerah of the Prophet and from the life of the companions, we see that despite our shidda upon the kuffar as a whole, it doesn't mean that upon a non-Muslim as an individual, we also have to show harshness to every single individual. So this ashidda'u ala al-kuffar, this harshness and severity upon the kuffar, is in times of, for example, jihad and our hate for what they are upon. And as for individuals amongst them, then we see from the life of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions how they would treat the kuffar on an individual basis in terms of kindness and wisdom and showing them a good role model and aiding them in their affairs in order to bring them closer to al-Islam. وَعَلَى مَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And then he made the dua, اللهم اهدني واهدي لي واهدي بي. اللهم طهرني من الغل جناني. وسدد لإصابة الحق لساني. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أضل أو أضل أو أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. And by the way, this last dua here, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أضل أو أضل أو أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. This is from the أدعية for when you leave the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would leave the house, he would say, Bismillah, wa tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an adilla aw udal, wa azilla aw uzal, wa adlima aw udlam, wa ajhila aw yujhal alayya. And then after this introduction, amma ba'd, he mentioned huwa ahlu sunnah. To summarize huwa ahlu sunnah, he said, فَأَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ هُمُ الْمُتَّبَعُونَ لِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. That أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, they are those people who are following that which the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon. And their ascription, their nisbah ila sunnati rasul, goes back to the sunnah of the messenger, because this is what they follow. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered them, and he said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Upon you is my sunnah, and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa who come after me. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam حَذَّرَ مِنْ مُخَالَفَتِهَا. He warned the people from opposing the sunnah. He said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Be aware and be cautious of the innovated matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever stays away from my sunnah, turns away from my sunnah, or even exceeds my sunnah, then he is not from me. وَهَذَا بِخِلَافِ غَيْرِهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدَعِ. And this is in opposition to other than Ahlu Sunnah, from the people of innovation and the people of desires. أَلَّذِينَ سَلَكُوا مَسَالِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَيْهَا الرَّسُولُ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. Those groups who followed ways and paths which the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were not upon. فَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ ظَهَرَتْ عَقِيدَتُهُمْ بِظُهُورِ بِعْثَتِهِ. So Ahlu Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, their aqeedah, it arose or it emerged with the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَأَهْلُ الْأَهْوَى. And as for the people of the desires, وُلِدَتْ عَقَائِدُهُمْ بَعْدَ زَمَنِهِ. Their aqaid were born after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just note, pay attention to the wording of the author and how intelligent he was in his wording. He said, Ahlu Sunnah, ظهرت عقيدتهم. Their aqeedah, it emerged with the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah, it emerged when the Prophet was sent. And as for the aqeedah of Ahlul Bid'ah wal Ahwa, then it was born. Meaning it was something which was new and it came after the coming of the Prophet. So this shows us that the source of our aqeedah is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for this reason, when it comes to our aqeedah, we do not ascribe to any particular individual apart from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We say we are Ahlul Sunnah, the people who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as for the people of innovation, you will notice that their aqeedah always goes back to a particular person or a particular town or a particular place. And all of these people and these individuals came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes by 200-300 years. So for example, the Ash'aris, the Asha'ira, they ascribed the aqeedah, the Ash'ari aqeedah, to Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari. And when was he born? 324 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Maturidis, they ascribed their aqeedah to a person, not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but to Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. And he was born 333 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Jahmiyyah, whose aqeedah comes from Jaham ibn Safwan, and this is why they're called Jahmiyyah, from Jaham, he was born 128 years after the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Mu'tazila, who came from a person called Wasil ibn Atta, came almost 100 years after the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah, it is only ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ. And for this reason, we don't call ourselves Ash'ari or Murji, or we don't call ourselves Mu'tazili or Maturidi, and we don't give ourselves any other name. We give ourselves the name of Ahlu Sunnah, coming back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just the fact that these groups of people of innovation, that their aqaid is ascribed to people who came after the Prophet by 100, 200, or 300 years afterwards, this in of itself is an evidence to the falsehood of their aqeedah. Because before that 300 years, what were the people upon? Did they not know the aqeedah? And then he said, "Minha ma kana fi akhir ahdi sahaba," that some of these groups appear towards the end of the era of the companions, like the Khawarij, for example, and the Rawafid. وَمِنْهَا مَا كَانَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, and some of these groups appeared after that. وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ مَنْ عَاشَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ سَيُدْرَكْ هَذَا التَّفَرُّقْ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to prophesy and inform his companions that whoever lives long amongst you, you will see this disunity and you will see this discord. And this in of itself is also an evidence to the falsehood of all of the other groups. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to warn his companions that there will come a time after me in which there will be different sects and different groups and there will be differing. So this is an evidence that it is falsehood, because the Prophet ordered the companions against it. He mentioned the hadith, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, that whoever lives long amongst you, then he will see much difference or much confusion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would order the people to following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author also mentions a few lines later, he mentions a logical evidence proving the falsehood of every other sect, whether it is the Asha'ira, whether it is the Murji'a, whether it is the Sufiya. All of these sects, there is a logical evidence which proves their falsehood. He said, وَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْمَعْقُولِ, that it isn't logical, something which is illogical, وَلَا الْمَقْبُولِ, and it cannot be accepted, أَنْ يُحْجَبْ حَقٌ وَهُدَى عَنِ الصَّحَابَةِ, that the truth and the guidance was hidden from the Sahaba. وَيُدَّخَرْ لِأُنَاسٍ يُجِئُونَ بَعْدَهُمْ, and that this truth and this guidance, it wasn't given to the Sahaba, but it was saved for people who were going to come 300 years afterwards. Meaning, if these groups, like the Asha'ira, who came 300 years after, who ascribed to Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari, who came 300 years after him, how is it that he knew of this aqidah and it is ascribed to him, and yet this truth that you're calling to and this guidance which you claim and this true aqidah, it was hidden from the Sahaba who came before? So if you're ascribing your aqidah to Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari, then what about the 300 years before that? Why don't you ascribe your aqidah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Why don't you ascribe your aqidah to Umar radiallahu anhu? Or do you say that the Ash'ari aqidah, it was hidden from the companions and they didn't know it, and therefore we don't ascribe to him, but a man called Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimullah, he came afterwards and he's the one who knew of this aqidah. So it isn't logical for us to accept as any sect who ascribes to an individual or to a place that came 80, 100, 200, 300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَإِنَّ تِلْكَ الْبِدَعَ الْمُحْدَثَ كُلَّهَا شَرْ. So verily, those innovations, all of them are evil. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا خَيْرٍ لَسَبَقَ إِلَيْهِ الصَّحَابَةِ. And if any of these groups or sects or innovations had any goodness in them, then the companions would already know about it. The companions would have preceded us. And then he mentions the statement of Al-Imam Malik rahimullah. He said, لَنْ يَصْلِحَ آخِرْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهَا أَوَّلَهَا, that the end of this ummah, the later generations of this ummah, will never be rectified except with that message which the early generations of the ummah were rectified with. Meaning the only aqeedah which is appropriate and which will rectify the end of the ummah is the very aqeedah which was there at the beginning of the ummah, i.e. that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his companions. And then he says, وَلِذَا فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ السُنَّةِ يَنْتَسِبُونَ إِلَى السُنَّةِ. And therefore, look at the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and between all of the other sects. That Ahlul Sunnah, they ascribe themselves to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وغيرهم ينتسبون إلى نحلهم الباطلة. And as for other than Ahlul Sunnah, then all of them ascribe themselves to their deviated ways, like the Jabariyyah, and like the Qadariyyah, and the Murji'ah, and the Imamiyyatul Ithni Ashar. Or they ascribe themselves to particular individuals, like the Jahmiyyah, and the Zaydiyyah, and the Ash'ariyyah, and the Ibadiyyah. And then he mentions that nobody should say that Ahlul Sunnah, we call ourselves Wahhabiyyah. Because this term Wahhabi, it isn't a term which Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab gave to himself or the followers of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab used to call themselves with. Rather, this term Wahhabiyyah was a term that was used by those people who opposed his da'wah in order to confuse the people and keep the masses away from the da'wah of At-Tawheed. And Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, al-Imam rahimullah, he never came with anything new. He never came with a new madhab. He never came with a new aqeedah. He never ascribed for himself a particular name. Rather, he just came with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الشَّاطَبِيُّ رَحِمُ اللَّهِ فِي الْإِعْتِسَامِ وَقَالَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنُ مَهْدِي. That Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi said, now Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi was from the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimullah, and he was born in, or he died in 198 Hijrah. He said, قَدْ سُئِلَ مَالِكِ ibn Anas عَنِ السُنَّةِ. That Imam Malik ibn Anas, he was questioned regarding the Sunnah, what is the Sunnah, or who are the people of the Sunnah, and he said, هِيَ مَا لَسْمَ لَهُ غَيْرَ السُنَّةِ. That the Sunnah, or the people of the Sunnah, are those people who have no other name except the Sunnah. And then he recited, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow the other paths. وَقَالَ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمْ رَحِمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَدَارِجِ السَّالِكِينَ وَقَدْ سُئِلَ بَعْضُ الْأَئِمَّةِ عَنِ السُنَّةِ. He said that some of the Imams were asked about the Sunnah, قال, and he said, مَا لَسْمَ لَهُ سِوَ السُنَّةِ. That it is that path which has no other name apart from the Sunnah. So Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we do not ascribe ourselves to any other aqeedah, to any other individual, to any place. Rather, we ascribe ourselves only to the Sunnah or any other name which points towards the Sunnah. Like Ahlul Hadith, or like a Salafiyun, or like Ahlul Athar, all of these, they are same as Ahlul Sunnah. Because they don't go back to any particular individual, or a place, or a time. They go back to the first three generations. And also he mentions the statement of Ibn Abd al-Barr. He said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا سَأَلَ مَالِكًا. That a man, he asked Malik, فَقَالْ مَنْ أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ هُوَ أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ. And Al-Imam Malik said, Ahlul Sunnah, الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ لَقَبٌ يُعْرَفُونَ بِهَا يُعْرَفُونَ بِهِ. That Ahlul Sunnah are those people who do not have any other name, any other nickname by which they are known. لا جَهْمِيٌّ وَلَا قَدَرِيٌّ وَلَا رَافَضِيٌّ. And I mentioned previously that just as we don't ascribe to any particular individual or any particular place in our aqeedah and in our usuluddin, then similarly when it comes to suluk and tazkiyatun nafs, then we do not ascribe to any individual or any place. So we don't say that we are, for example, Qadiri, and we are Naqshbandi, and we are Sahawardi in tazkiyah and as-suluk, or any other name. Rather, we ascribe to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as the sunnah has showed us our aqeedah, then the sunnah has showed us suluk and tazkiyatun nafs. And then he said, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَى أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ فِي كُلِّ زَمَانٍ وَمَكَانٍ التَّآلُفْ وَالتَّرَاحُمِ. That no doubt the obligation upon the people of the sunnah in every place and every time is to be united and show mercy to each other, وَالتَّعَاوُنَ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and to cooperate with each other upon righteousness and upon التَّقْوَى. And then he mentions, and we summarize with this inshallah, he mentions the sad state of affairs amongst some of Ahlul Sunnah and many amongst the youth of Ahlul Sunnah. He said, وَإِنَّ مِمَّا يُؤْسَفُ لَهُ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ. that which is very sorrowful and unfortunate in this time, مَا حَصَلَ مِنْ بَعْضِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ, that which has occurred from some of the people of the Sunnah, from some of the Salafis, مِنْ وَحْشَةٍ وَاخْتِلَافٍ, from differing with each other and being in opposition to each other. مِمَّا تَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهِ انْشِغَالُ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ تَجْرِيحًا وَتَحْذِيرًا وَهَجَرًا, which has caused some of them to be preoccupied with warning against each other and boycotting each other and warning against each other. Ay Ahlus Sunnah, some individuals amongst Ahlus Sunnah, their focus is upon warning against each other and boycotting against each other. And this is something which you see. You see it on the internet, you see it in the articles, you see it in some of the lectures, that a person will come to a particular town, and in this town you have the people of the Sunnah calling to the Sunnah, and then you have the people of the innovation. And this individual, when he comes to this town, instead of coming and warning against the real people of innovation, like the people of Shirk and the people who follow Khurafat, instead of warning against them, those people who share most of his rebuke are the people of the Sunnah. And this is exactly what the Shaykh is referring to. وَكَانَ الْوَاجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ جُهُودُهُمْ جَمِيعًا مُوَجَّهَةً إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ وَأَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ, that the reality is, what is appropriate for us, is instead of us warning the people against each other within Ahlul Sunnah, our focus and our efforts should be in warning against the ways of the disbelievers and warning against the people of innovation, the real people of innovation who are in opposition to the way of Ahlul Sunnah. وَأَنْ يَكُونُوا فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ مُتَآلِفِينَ مُتَرَاحِمِينَ يُذَكِّرُ بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا بِرِفْقٍ وَلِينٍ, and that between each other we should be upon gentleness and be upon unity and mercy, and that we always remind each other with gentleness and leniency. This which the author mentions, in which some of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they are differed with each other, and this differing has caused them to start warning and boycotting and so on and so forth. This is firstly in affairs of ijtihad. In affairs of ijtihad in which the Sharia allows some difference, then we cannot allow this difference to be a cause of disunity for us. Or secondly, being disunited amongst each other merely based upon the speech which is being transmitted, or qila wa qal, just rumors and hearsay, and this then causes people to be disunited. And also involving people in those matters which has no concern to them. As I mentioned, a particular fitna, a particular difference amongst some people in a particular country, whether it is Yemen or Jordan or Saudi Arabia, wherever it is, and it doesn't have a concern for us in our masjid, it doesn't affect our belief, it doesn't affect our manhaj, it doesn't affect our ibadah, and yet we are testing each other, what is your position regarding this individual, and therefore al-ikhtilaf occurs. And many of the ulama, the large majority of the ulama, over and over again we are reading for them that they are advising us to stay away from these things. They are advising us to stay away from those affairs which do not concern us. At the same time, this doesn't mean that if there is an error, that we should remain silent over this error, even if the error occurs from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Rather, as the author says, يُذَكَّرُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا, that if there is an error, they need to remind each other, they need to advise each other, they need to clarify this error. So no error should be left unclarified. Why? Because we say, oh, we should have gentleness with each other. The gentleness which we have with each other is how we try to rectify this error, not that we ignore the error in of itself. So whenever there are mukhalafat, there are opposition or contradictions to the sunnah which is taking place, even if it takes place from a scholar from Ahlul Sunnah, or from a masjid from amongst us, or from a group of people from within our masjid, then that error has to be clarified. And the truth is more deserving of being followed than people. So the error has to be clarified, and no opposition to the sunnah can be accepted, but there has to be a way, a difference between how we treat Ahlul Sunnah and how we treat Ahlul Bid'ah. So we shouldn't be rectifying the mistakes which occur from Ahlul Sunnah and treat them like Ahlul Bid'ah, and they face the same harshness which the people of Bid'ah are deserving from us. So this rifq which the Shaykh was calling to is rifq in advising each other when there are mistakes. Not that mistakes or oppositions to the Sunnah are left and they are ignored and we say, oh, this is rifq Ahlul Sunnah. This is gentleness to Ahlul Sunnah. He's finished by saying, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ كِتَابَةَ كَلِمَاتٍ. That I saw it appropriate to write some words, نَصِيحَةً لِهَاُولَيْ جَمِيعًا, as an advice, as a nasiha to all of them. سَائِلًا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Asking Allah that He causes these words to be of benefit. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَسْتَطَعْتِ. And I only want rectification as much as I am able to do so. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ وَقَدْ سَمَّيْتُ هَذِي نَصِيحًا. And I have called this nasiha رِفْقًا أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ بِأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ, gentleness of أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ with the people of أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ. وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لِلْجَمِيعِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالسَّدَادِ وَأَنْ يُصْلِحَ ذَاتَ بَيْنِهِمْ وَأَنْ يُؤَلِّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَنْ يَهْدِيَهُمْ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ مُجِيبٌ. Allahumma ameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. And with this, the author, he finished his introduction, the first introduction to this book. And bi'idhnillah, in the next week, we will go through the second chapter, which is much shorter, and it is ni'matun nutqi wal bayan, the blessing of speech and clarification. The blessing of speech and clarification. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If there's any questions that anybody has, you're welcome to ask your questions.